Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Is the account that I went to as kind of a primary passage to look at as we think about mourning. I want to read verses 32 to 37 of John chapter 11. And if you want to read the fuller story of Lazarus' death and then what Jesus did, you can go to John chapter 11. So from verses 32 to 37, we read these things. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" When I was a child, we were encouraged to memorize scripture. And so we'd come to Sunday school class on Sunday mornings, and the teacher would say, "Oh, can any of you quote a scripture?" And we all jumped at, "Jesus wept." The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Mourning comes when we have experienced a loss. The experience of Mary and Martha is one we all come to at one time or another in our lives. Sometime in all of our lives, and we can all give account of that, there has been someone who's died, who we care about deeply. And it's a loss to us. And we mourn that loss. This week in the news, it's been royalty in England. And if you watched the news, you probably saw that there were 30-some who were able to be at that funeral. And the comments of the commentators as they talked about the family and their mourning the loss of this, you know, one special person who impacted their world and their lives. When we lose someone, there's mourning that comes. It means that something special that has been a part of our life is gone. Someone, something. Mourning is an important part of our healthy well-being in several ways. So this morning I want to talk about the value of mourning and what that means to us and can mean for us. First of all, emotional health requires that we mourn. Blessed is the one who mourns, for they shall experience healthy healing. Okay, that's not what says in the Bible, is it? But that's what we know. Blessed are the ones who mourn, for they shall experience healthy healing. Emotional health requires that we mourn. Mourning losses is an indication that we acknowledge the reality that something is very important in our lives. You know, sometimes we come to some of these emotions and we think, oh man, we shouldn't have those emotions. But God has given us those emotions and they're healthy for us as we understand them. When we mourn something, it means that we acknowledge how important that has been in our lives. And God gives us what we have. And so when those things are lost, when they're gone, we should feel that. It's important that we acknowledge that there are things in our lives that have deep meaning. Without this kind of emotional attachment to life, there's little emotion, there's little motivation to work toward anything. John chapter 11, verse 33. This is what happened. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. Does God care about us when we mourn? Absolutely. God cares about our emotional well-being. God cares about how we feel. God cares about our losses. Jesus, when he saw them crying, when he saw Mary and Martha crying, and the people crying over the loss of Lazarus, he was deeply moved. Folks, we have a God who feels our losses even as we feel those. Our God is a God of compassion and empathy who feels the kinds of things that we feel. Weeping, crying is an important part of our healing. Sometimes men in our society, it's thought or it has been said that men shouldn't cry. That's a terrible statement. Men, we need to cry. We need the emotional expression of crying, acknowledging our losses, whether it's a loss of a person or whether it's a loss of a job or a loss of something else. Men, we need to cry. Not just the ladies. We need to cry. Jesus wept. It's a part of the healing process that comes. Emotional health requires that we mourn. So first of all, emotional health requires mourning. Mourning is a healthy and life-giving expression and response to our losses. Secondly, then, relational health requires mourning. John 11, 35, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Relational health requires mourning. When did Jesus weep? Okay, when did he start to cry? When did he weep? He didn't come and see what they were doing and stood strong, didn't cry, but said, it'll be okay, folks. Things will be good. And then he went off and cried somewhere else, did he? When he saw Mary and Martha and the people who had come to mourn with them crying, Jesus wept. Relational health requires mourning. One of the things that we've been cheated out of, and one of the things that has been taken away from us during COVID, are funeral gatherings. There have been some graveside stuff, but people gathering in the church and then having a meal afterwards, we haven't been able to do that because of COVID. That's been stolen from us. That's been taken away from us. And it's an important piece of healthy lives, of healthy emotional lives, of healthy relational lives. Think about a time when there were losses in your life. Think about what you maybe remember most about those losses. As I thought of that and thought back over my own life, maybe one of the first things that I thought about were the people who weren't there. Did you get that? The thing that first came to my mind were the people who weren't there when I had a loss, whether it was a family member or whether it was in relationship to a job, etc. It was the people who didn't come alongside and say, Dale, you know, I'm sorry that this didn't work out for you. I'm sorry you had this loss. It's those people who I thought about first. You see, relational health requires that we mourn, not in our closet, but in the pew beside the person, in the car seat beside the person, over the cup of coffee beside the person. Thank you, Art, for bringing Nathan Montgomery's family to mind. Thank you for Eddie. Thank you for each of you as you think about people and you share their losses. What that says to me is that you are people who mourn with other people. That is hugely important, folks. Relational health requires that we mourn together. And what does that mean? Well, it means we understand and we see physical losses normally, okay? We see when a family member dies. We see when a Nathan Montgomery dies, and we can come alongside the family, we can share with them, and then those relationships are strengthened between me and that other person. Some of the places where we need to be looking for and talking about are when there are other losses. Myron, thank you for sharing your loss of living in your own home and needing to move. How would we know how to love Myron and care for him if he didn't tell us about that? We need to be open. We need to be sharing our lives. We need to be sharing the losses that are in our lives and how those impact us so that we can come alongside. And maybe it requires weeping. Maybe it requires crying. Or maybe it just requires, picking up a box and carrying it into the new house. But we need to come alongside, and relational health requires that kind of mourning, that kind of connections. One of the things that I've been reading that I'm going to be talking about more all the time is a word in the Hebrew. It's hesed. Hesed is a word that indicates love, but it indicates a very deep, deep love. It's not a surface love. It's something that's very deep and very personal and is a part of relationships that we need to carry for each other. Relationships in which there's a hesed love that gets beneath the surface that typically the world doesn't see, because the world's all surface. It's surface up here. Love is up here above all this stuff. When everything's good, there's love. But when things aren't good, people draw away from each other. We need to mourn together so that we can build strong relationships. Our God is a God of compassion and empathy because he understands the importance of relationship. The third piece, spiritual health requires our mourning. There are several aspects of this truth that I think need to be lifted up. First, it acknowledges our need for God. When there's mourning for our sin and for the sins of others, when there's that sense of which I can't do it myself, I need God's help. As Margaret and I were in the place where the doctor said we needed a medical sabbatical, you all gave us that sense of understanding that you were behind us. We were saying, as I sat in my recliner and couldn't do much of anything for a couple of weeks, I was saying, God, I need you. I was mourning the loss of the ability to live as I had lived, mourning the loss of being able to be here with you. God, I need your help. I need you. So spiritual health requires that We indicate our need for God. It acknowledges the reality that God is in control. Also, a second thing. You know, spiritual health requires mourning. Mourning acknowledges that God is in control. I was completely out of control of my person. I couldn't control what was going on in me. And that was a very strange feeling. But it was a very good thing in the sense that it again reminded me of the fact that I'm not in control, that God is in control. So the spiritual reality of mourning, when we mourn the loss of a friend, you know, we couldn't keep them alive. You know, my prayers, God chose to do something different than I asked. God's in control, I'm not. And guess what? That's a positive thing. That's a positive reality. That is a healthy spiritual growth understanding that God is in control and I'm not. The third thing is, it gives opportunity to affirm my faith and my trust in God. When there are losses in my life and I'm mourning, one of the spiritual realities is just that fact. Affirmation. Yeah, I have the opportunity of saying, God, I need you. And then I have the privilege of saying, God was there. God came. God met me where I was. Helped me through those weeks where that change was coming and healing was coming in my life and my being. And I was able to say, yes, God, thank you. Out of my mourning has come life. Out of my mourning has come rejoicing. I was in the store the other day, and there was a person who knew that Margaret and I had been on this medical sabbatical and asked how we were doing. It's someone other than one of our church folks. And I was able to say, we're doing great. We go through these times of mourning. We go through these times where there's this spiritual change that comes in us. And you see, it wasn't just a physical change that came in our lives. God was doing stuff in our spirit. It was spiritual growth that was coming as a result of our mourning. And I am so thankful for that and thankful that I have the opportunity to acknowledge that. And in a public place, it was actually in the grocery store. And so I know that there were people who heard what I was saying to this other individual. And I'm thankful for that. A fourth thing then, mourning for my own sin and a lost world. Now this is an act of mourning that we initiate because of our understanding of the fact that we are sinners and there's a world around us that is in sin. Do you mourn for the lost and dying of this world who are not believers and are going to hell? Does it make a difference to you? Does it matter to you? Do you have that sense of weeping over those who are lost? You know, maybe if it's a family member. But we need to think about others as well, beyond ourselves. There needs to be a mourning for my own sin and the sins of the world. Are there times when you weep for the lost? This kind of mourning is an evidence of spiritually healthy life in me when I mourn for those who are lost. Do I mourn for justice in the world? Do I mourn for the poor of this world? Do I mourn for all the places God's truth is rejected by the world? Do I mourn when God's name is spoken in vain? When you hear someone take God's name in vain, how do you feel? Do I truly care about the things God cares about? We need to initiate mourning because of the loss of life in our world. When I say the loss of life, there's truly loss of life when a person dies and doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Finally, then, those who mourn will be comforted. The promise. And that's what we like to look at, isn't it? The promise that comes to those who mourn. Those who mourn will be comforted. The comfort of knowing God's love. What a wonderful blessing to know that God loves me. As we're in mourning, do we know that comfort of knowing His love? Jesus wept with, and Jesus weeps with us. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha and their friends. Jesus weeps with me. What a comfort to know that when I am suffering loss, when I am mourning, that I'm not doing it by myself, but God's coming alongside me and is with me. The comfort of knowing God's in control. The comfort of knowing we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The comfort that comes as we know the reality of that truth. The comfort of knowing God has the power to bring back to life. This passage, this account of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, is one in which you remember the story. They contacted Jesus, said, Lazarus is sick. Can you come? Can you heal him? And so they called Jesus to come to heal Lazarus because they knew that Jesus could do that. But Jesus waited. And do you remember why he waited? He said, I'm not going to go right away because there's a bigger lesson that I want you to learn as a result of this. So when he got there, Lazarus was dead and he'd been in the grave for 4 days, the scripture says. So what's the lesson? Well, the lesson was twofold. Number one, Jesus wanted them to see that he has the power to bring life. He had the power to bring Lazarus out of the grave, alive. He wanted the people to see that so that they would understand more fully who he was as the Christ, as the Messiah, and what he was coming to do. And so it was not just Lazarus, but then when he died and was on the cross and in the tomb and then came to life again, the world, the disciples, the family saw that this Jesus truly is God. This Jesus truly is who he said that he is. This Jesus is life. Life. He's in control. He didn't go right away. He could have, and he could have healed Lazarus. He waited. Lazarus was dead. He brought him to life, so that the people would understand more fully the reality and the truth of who he is as the Lord God. Then we have the promise that one of the things that I've read over the last couple of months every day are all the passages about God's faithfulness and the fact that he's not going to forsake us. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter where we are, God's going to be there. The promise of heaven for all who believe. John 11:40, Jesus says this, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you when you mourn, for comfort's going to come. There are different things that come when we mourn. Some very, very good things come when we mourn. The promise. You will see the glory of God. The promise is heaven. When we understand our sinfulness and understand God's power to bring life, to bring redemption, to bring resurrection. I don't know if you remember the story, but early on when Mary or Martha, the first one to come to Jesus, and they said, well, why didn't you come? Because you could have healed them. And Jesus says, yeah, I could have done that, but I did it so that you would understand. And you know, whichever one it was, Mary or Martha, who was first, they said, yeah, Jesus, we understand that there's going to be a resurrection. And so we know that Lazarus would have come to life then. See, that's part of the comfort that we have. That's part of the comfort that comes to us. And so, you know, as I was not well and feeling what some of you have felt, I know, the fact that, man, I'm close to dying. I may die here. You know, I may not get out of this chair. I may die. I was okay because I had the comfort of knowing God's promise that I would see his glory. You see, mourning isn't a bad thing. Mourning is something that is good. So I want to encourage you to embrace those opportunities for mourning, remembering God is with you, remembering that you can be with others in their mourning. And I want to encourage you to think about the loss of people, but I want to also encourage you to think about the loss of other things in people's lives, whether it's a job, a house, a position. Think about places where you can come alongside and stand with others in their mourning and weep with them and allow them to weep and experience the healing power that comes in that. We're going to close today with a hymn, Hiding in Thee. It's one that, you know, I grew up singing, I think. It's one that I haven't heard sung in a long time. So I don't know when you may have last heard it or sung it, but we're going to sing it together. So stand with me as we sing this.